the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. We are back at the spot right here. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. We are down in Australia with our guest, Candida Masalo. She is a wonderful woman that is doing some amazing, amazing work. I want you to check her out. I've watched some of her videos. She does a lot of Facebook Lives, and they're very engaging, and they're very heart-centered. She's a Reiki master. She's a yoga teacher. I love yoga, but I haven't been with my practice, so maybe you can inspire me again. I've gotten stiff again. I'm not connecting with the breath. She is just a wonderful person. She has a retreat. She's a retreat facilitator. She's a coach. And we're going to talk about some things that really kind of get us in alignment with our chakras, with our mind, stop those limited beliefs and that self-sabotage that we all do every day. You know, rather intentionally or unintentionally, we do it, and it's counterproductive to our growth and our development. Wouldn't you agree, Candida?
Absolutely, I would.
Yeah.
Hello, April. Thank you very much for having me.
I love having
you. Hello, Brains.
See, she called you by your first name. So tell us a little bit about you, and what was your awakening? What was your aha moment? Why did you start this line of work?
Do you know, I've been thinking about this since I knew I was going to be on your show, about what was my awakening. I don't actually think I had like one huge awakening, although there were many pivotal moments in my life where I know that I made conscious choices to go this way or that way, and they were very pivotal. But I can remember as a young, very young child, probably five, six, we came out from Italy when I was three. So that's like 63 years ago, we came out from Italy. And I had always had this feeling that I wanted to do something to be of help. And because I went to a Catholic school, I just immediately said, okay, I've got to be a nun. So glad that didn't happen. But but I think that's where I think I came in with it, if I'm making myself clear. And and then throughout my life, I always had this connection with, really strong connection with the Ascended Masters. We called them saints in those days. I read so many of those books, Jesus, God, all of that. But from a very sort of, like I could feel it in my heart. So, so I sort of grew up through my life with that already there.
You always had a very deep-rooted spiritual connection.
I did. I wouldn't say in the religious, even though I did go to church in those days, because that's just what we did in those days, but it was more than that for me, and but I couldn't identify it. I was a child. Anything happened.
But I mean, you know, some people hesitate, and I get this all the time about religion. You know, religion is our introduction. There, you know, however, when we evolve and we learn and we grow, because, you know, I was self-disclosed. I have experienced three different religions in my lifetime until I found one that I really connected with. So, you know, if going to church, you know, people are still doing that. It's a difference if you go to church and if you're actually in church and you are of the church. And we are the church. We are the church. Yeah. Not the temple, not the priest or the pastor. But we are the temple of the soul. So I totally get what you're saying.
I absolutely agree, because whilst I loved being in church because of the feeling I got from being in there, I was having a bit of conflict with what was being taught to me. I couldn't identify it at that age. But I've always carried through this heart connection with spirit, if you will, for want of, you know, however else to call it.
That's exactly what it is. It's a spirit. I don't care what religious doctrine it's in. So many people tread so lightly on that. And what you need to do, brains, is you need to stand firm in your conviction. Whatever you believe in, he, she, we, they, stand firm in who you are. Because if you're wavering, you're not really in it. So now you started this process and this journey and this evolution, and you knew who you were. Okay. And so now you decided, I'm going to incorporate these different modalities. Tell us a little bit about how you found that.
Okay. So it didn't start quite up. What happened was I came across this spiritual teacher, and because I wanted to learn more about meditation. So this was in my early 40s. So previous to that, my way of getting my message across was I always wanted to be a teacher. So I put myself through university. I was a single parent for many years and put myself through university in those days to get my teaching degree. And so then I worked in a school, and so I began to teach yoga, meditation, stress management to teachers and students. And I began to design programs doing it that way. In those days, it was very risky, because I'm talking the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, and the school system was a bit, you know, not as flexible as it is now. So there was some opposition, but thankfully there was also encouragement from principals and teachers for me to keep doing it. So I was doing those. And then I came across, I wanted to learn more about meditation. So I came across in my searches this spiritual teacher, and I don't know if you've heard of Kriya Yoga, but I became an initiate of Kriya Yoga. So it's based in the ancient yogic philosophies and the ancient texts of Patanjali and all of that. So it's about learning about universal concepts through those ancient texts, if you will. And I did that study for 16 years, every week without fail, going to him and studying with him. That gave me a huge basis for coming in touch with my stillness. You know, when we say stilling the mind, that is so hard for so many people. And it can tend to put people off, I think, but I became in touch with my own inner stillness through the practices that we did, because they were quite intense and quite disciplined. There was a lot of discipline involved. I didn't think I was searching for that. I was just looking to learn more about meditation. But I found him because at the same time I was becoming a Reiki practitioner, and through my searches came across him. So that was huge in my life. And so what I did in the school system, I translated what I learned from him, which was sort of in the old way of learning, like I don't know if you're familiar with Paramahansa Yogananda, but in his beautiful old way of teaching in India, I found that that did not connect so much with a lot of people today, particularly not in the school system. So I translated what I learned from him, same information, same essence, same heart. I just used different words to make it receivable.
That's powerful.
By children, you know, by teachers and principals. I used to run a lot of workshops and as a trained teachers to do this stuff in their classroom.
Well, I want to touch on that a little bit, because here in the United States, I can't speak for, you know, Australia. Unfortunately, a lot of children are being medicated.
Yes.
And they're being medicated unnecessarily. I mean, when I was in school, if you were disruptive, you were just disruptive, and there was ways of dealing with you, putting you in the corner. Unfortunately, you know, the nuns would slap your hand with a ruler or tap you on the bottom. We don't want, you know, corporal punishment, but they had other ways of dealing with this outside of having your child medicated. When the child is medicated, there is going to be an impact on their learning. There's going to be an impact on their psyche, and it can cause some damage. But now I see that a lot of teachers are incorporating meditation and yoga into the classrooms here. And it's allowing the child to connect with the breath, connect with their spirit, connect with source, whatever source that is, just because it's a yoga practice doesn't mean that they're dealing with some, you know, alternative ego or some demonic spirit. They're connecting with the calmness and the energy and the synergy. So I think that that is brilliant that you were able to do that and be at the forefront of something like that, because that is definitely what needs to resonate in the school systems here now to calm kids down, because they're going to be filled with so much anxiety going back to school after this break from COVID. The second thing I wanted to kind of touch base with you on was your 16 years of disciplined meditation. Now, brains, meditation, I have been through some different meditations from my guests. I've been on one that was a guided meditation. I've been on one that I've ridden on the back of a dragon. I've been on one that was a sound bowl meditation. It is quieting the monkey mind. But you did it for 16 years. And when we had our green room conversation before, remember I was telling you that I had a friend that was in intense meditation, but her experience, now this was her experience, she felt that she was brainwashed, because you are going into that subconscious mind. And I mean, when you've done it for 16 years, I bet you uncovered a lot of things about you and the world around you. What surfaced in that? Did you have some past life regressions that came up? Did you have some epiphanies? What came up for you doing 16 years of intense meditation study?
Okay, good question. Again, it's not just one thing. What I noticed very early on was that I was able to be the witness of my own thoughts and my own life, like I, without consciousness. And that is one of the guidances, the things that we did is called the witness meditation. And this is what I used to teach. That's one of the beginning things I teach to children and to anybody, is just to the ability to just watch your thoughts without becoming involved or trying to analyze them. So after a lot of practice with that, I found that I was able to, for a split second in a situation, take a step back. Nobody would know. It's just all happening inside, make a second like that, and make a conscious choice. And I'll tell you a very quick thing where I first noticed this was happening, okay? So I was, this was many, many, many years ago, probably 25 years ago. I was in a video, in the days of video stores, like on a Saturday night, we'd go to the video store, pick a video. So I was with my ex-husband at the time, and he always wanted to get like Jackie Chan and action and people blowing people up and that kind of stuff. I was in the mood for a chick flick or something calm, something nice, you know. And we were in the store and I thought, oh, we're going to have an argument, you know, like, because immediately he went for the Jackie Chan movies. And I was about to open my mouth and then I didn't. And in my mind, I thought, just be cool, just breathe. It's okay. Whatever happens is okay. Do you know, I swear, without him knowing anything, he just took his hand away. He went to another section and he picked and Coming to America. Was that like Eddie Murphy or one of those?
Oh, wow. American,
one of the most funniest movies I've ever seen. I cannot believe it. So that was the beginning of my own awareness, knowing what I was actually doing. Because, you know, in life, we just do things automatically. And right. And we don't even know half the time what we're doing. So we're not really choosing what kind of life we're living. So that was the major thing that I noticed for me. And to apply that in all areas of your life, now it's like automatic. So it's about responding to life rather than knee-jerk reaction.
Right.
So response gives you the choice, and you can choose, am I going to be judgmental or am I going to be kind? You know,
right.
But it takes a mega second, you know?
Right, it does, it does. You know, I had a conversation with myself a few nights ago. There's a lot of stuff that's going on, you know, I had some personal things that were going on. And I had a neuro-linguistic programming shift. You know, I have the ability to put myself down in meditation, you know. And so I was just really there and I had a deep-rooted conversation. It seemed like I talked to myself for about an hour and a half. But what I did differently is after I got finished, I sat up and I journaled what this conversation was. Went to sleep, and when I woke up the next morning, I applied everything I thought about the conversation. I actually put it into implementation. And Candida, I can't tell you how much better I feel.
Well done.
You know, it was definitely an exercise in trust and trusting myself. You know, a lot of times we talk to ourselves in that endless chatter over and over again, but we don't take action. Let's talk a little bit about yoga. A lot of people, I was talking to my daughter. I said, you know, come on, let's do some yoga. She says, Mom, I don't feel like I'm doing it right. And I told her, I said, it's not a right or wrong. You know, she wants to get into the fancy poses and she wants to have the flexibility. But yoga is a way of preparing the body for meditation. Can you share a little bit about yoga and what people can do to just kind of get themselves in a comfortable position and feel comfortable with that?
Okay, sure. I feel that yoga, I mean, you can use it as a preparation for meditation. But I feel, for me, yoga and what I try to transmit to other people, it's a way of connecting with our own physical body and a way to come in familiar with your own physical body, with loving your physical body, with being grateful. Every yoga class, I talk many times about being grateful for our body and all that it allows us to do and all that it does for us. Because as we bring that love, see, we're living in the physical body. We can't do anything without here on this plane without our physical body. So unless we become familiar with it and become best friends with our body and love our body no matter what, then I don't see how we can be really in alignment and in truth about how we're going forward in life. So for me, it's about many things. That's one of the things it's about. It's also about connecting with, we all have a stillness within, but not all of us can connect with that. That stillness within allows us, like you were saying, you had a conversation with yourself. You were having, I believe, a conversation with your inner guidance, maybe your higher self. Do you know what I mean? It was a higher than your brain aspect of you, because to come up with a solution for your problems, it doesn't really work to come from the same level of energy, like in your mind, with thoughts going around and around. So you connected to a deeper part of you, and you came out with that. So that's another aspect of yoga. Also, I believe that in order to do, like if we do want to do things, more and more things in life, which I do, we need to be healthy and youthful. And we need to be an example of that. I think we have a responsibility for the type of energy that we bring into our world and into our people in our world. But to answer your question about how can you get comfortable, I would suggest just lie down on your back. It's called Shavasana in yoga. The translation is corpse pose. I said, it doesn't mean you're actually dead, but it means in a way, they have these ways of describing things, like in the ancient Hinduism and very colourful ways. It's about being dead to distractions, because our issues are all the distractions which don't allow us to get to whatever our truth is, which is what we were talking about before. So just lying down on your back with your palms up, eyes closed, and just breathe. Just get comfortable with lying down and just breathing for a few minutes. Some people might even find that difficult, but if you could put on some very, I find music connects us to our heart. It's the right kind of, so I'm suggesting like relaxing, any kind of music that you find relaxing connects us to our heart. So slow the rhythm of the heart down. You want to slow the breath, slow the heart, slow the mind. I'm pretty sure that your daughter or anybody would find, or any brains out there would find, that just doing that would be a beginning. And then you can go and understand it's not about being better than anybody else, not about being able to do what other people do. I have people in my classes that have got terrible things going on with their body, you know, that they can't do much, but whatever they can do, they find beneficial. And I can say without fail, every single one of them, if they keep coming, they find even that much improvement each week, because we're programming our mind in a different way as well.
You do. And again, what people need to focus on is you, not what the person is doing next to you, or, how deep they can do their downward facing dog, or, how straight their warrior two is, or their triangle pose. All of those, see, I know my poses.
You do, you're name dropping.
But it is about connecting with the source, connecting with the breath, and just being at peace and being quiet. The body will become more pliable. It will become more flexible as the breaths get deeper. I find that all the time. But where I fall off, and I hate to admit this, but I have to self-disclose, is I'll do really good, week, 2 weeks with yoga, and then I'll completely fall off. It is a practice that I need to stay and make it a discipline to myself, because I owe that to myself. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely agree. And I also, just to add one more thing, when you say that you slow the breath, you feel peaceful, there's a very good reason, but there's a very physical reason why that happens. When we're in that space, we're engaging our parasympathetic nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is the healer and the restorer. The sympathetic nervous system keeps us going fast all the time and in our busy heads, right? But the body is meant, we're meant to do that sometimes, but then we need time to heal and restore. And the reason people get sick through stress, just to make it very, very simplified, is because they're in sympathetic nervous system mode all the time. They're not allowing the parasympathetic nervous. And just by slow breathing and lying down, you're actually engaging the healer. So hormones are being released of dopamine, serotonin, melatonin, all of the good feeling healing hormones. So does that make sense, how that actually works?
Yes, it does. It does. It's just so important that we slow down. The world and everything is moving so fast.
Well, look what's happened. We've been made to slow down.
We've been made to slow down. This has been the perfect pause. I was in the store today, and the guy in front of me, bless his heart, his ATM card wasn't working. It wasn't working. And he kept turning to me, and he kept apologizing. And I was like, well, don't apologize, because every second now is precious to me. So there's no need for me to get frustrated. I'm here. I'm safe. I'm able to make a purchase. I want you to be able to go through with what you go through. So that little interaction made him feel better and made me feel better.
Indeed. Absolutely.
So it's just about slowing down. Well, you are an incredible woman, and I thank you so much for being here on The Edge with us. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with my brains?
I've got lots of things. I'd like to... I'm really excited about a new thing that I'm starting. And I did that in the COVID things last year, the study. I gained my certificate in life coaching, but I'm calling it spiritual life coaching because I'm doing it in a unique way to me, incorporating the spiritual aspect to help people in the way they want to go forward, because that's a big part of who we are. Well, that's who we are. And to leave that out, so I'm really excited to be able to, I'm starting that now. I've already started with a client now on that. I haven't got any programs online with that yet. I'm going to, but if people wanted to contact me, I could do like we're doing now, like a Zoom coaching online. And also I'm going to be putting some online programs on soon. I'm just wrestling with technology at the moment.
I know. And you know what, people just, the bells and whistles sometimes are a distraction. They just really want that heart-centered connection. And I definitely feel that with you. I feel relaxed. I feel at ease. I'd love to be in one of your yoga classes. I feel that your voice inflection, because that's huge. Okay, I've been in some yoga classes where it was like almost a drill sergeant. Okay, this. But actually just the flow and the ease and the voice inflection and the instruction of the teacher can transport you into another place.
Thank you
so much. tell my brains how to get in contact with you. What is your, do you have an email address or do you have a Facebook group?
I do. I have a website and a Facebook. So my website is At Ease Candid Health, and it's www.candidavasallo.com. I've got a Facebook page. Like, I do a lot of stuff on Facebook. Obviously, I've got an email address that's on my website as well. So I'd love for people to get in touch with me. And April, just one thing, if you wouldn't mind, I learned something today that, which I'll make it very short. It's probably one of the most enlightening things I've ever heard. I was listening to a man called Emmanuel Dagar. I don't know if you, he's an American, amazing soul and teacher. And he, in a meditation, he took us through an I am meditation. So the way it went was, I am, the universe is. And then he said, I am, and the universe is, because I am. Does that make sense?
Isn't
that amazing? So I thought that's the most...
I mean, you know, like I said, in the Bible, there's a whole section on the great I am. So who are you? And we have to ask the question.
But the universe can't be without us. Mm-hmm. So how is that in self-worth? I found that hugely powerful in self-worthiness and self-love, because the universe needs us. You know, right. When we can see it in those terms, right, then it establishes this, you know, but I just thought I wanted to share that was a beautiful thing I learned today.
Well, it is a beautiful thing. And again, it's something that will stick with me. And when we, you know, if you want to attach the link to it, we'll definitely go and visit it as well, because again, every nugget, every kernel of information is very, very important. And I thank you so much for being here on The Edge with me and my brain.
My pleasure.
That's wonderful. Come back and visit us. Maybe next time we can get you on the mat and some music and have a live yoga session. That would be great.
Thank you, April. Thank you very much. Much love to you all in America, everywhere.
Thank you so much. Bye, brains.
Bye. Bye, brains.